Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Has reestablishing a winning culture been more difficult than even you expected?
I never thought that we would be able to reestablish a culture, you know, in year one. It's a process. It's hard to change a culture, and we're trying to put those pieces together. I think it would be a disservice, you know, to get to the end of the year and not know exactly what we have from a player or coaching perspective, and that has to be our focus.
When is it acceptable for the Patriots to be competitive again? That's something I want to get into.
Hilarious. So we've heard that a couple times now over the course of, what, a couple
of
days?
2 days, yeah.
Yeah, because that was on Sunday after the game, right?
Oh, that was yesterday morning.
That was yesterday morning, excuse me.
So we had a full day to think about the game, and everything else. And that's the answer he came up with.
Okay, and I know that I'm the resident Sean McVay honk, but when he says, I never even thought we could change the culture in year one, let me just take you back to 2017, mm-hmm. the year of our Lord. Jeff Fisher had been fired by the LA Rams for going 4-12.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McVay came in, inherited the same quarterback who is considered a bust, and went from 4 wins to 11 and made the playoffs, and then the following year was in the Super Bowl. So he improved a 4-win team, which Gerard Mayo also inherited,
yep,
by 7 games, and then continued to make the playoffs, and obviously won a Super Bowl in 2021 and all of that. So to say that you never thought that you could change the culture in 1 year is insane, because that's what every team is attempting to do, basically, when they fire their coach. You're changing the culture in some degree, whether it's going from worst to not worst, or whether it's going from, you know, just missing out to getting in the playoffs, or maybe you even make the playoffs, but you want to win the whole thing. Like, that's what teams are trying to do. They're not all successful, but plenty of them have been able to do it. Like, you can't improve the team in 1 year?
I think the most egregious part there is I never even thought. Like,
David, you never considered it.
Like, we didn't accomplish it.
No.
We're not as good as I expected. Or, yeah, you know what? It has been more difficult than I thought.
Yeah, it's a process.
It's my first year, and you know what? Yeah. I thought it's honestly something that I thought we would be able to establish more quickly. We're working on it, and we're making good progress or whatever. But, yeah, you know what? That is a little more difficult than I thought. I never thought.
No, not me. Never would have thought that.
What does he think about? Like,
I don't know.
He's not thinking about making adjustments in terms of how he coaches until next year. He's got a list he's working on that he's going to get to in the offseason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Apparently, he never thought about any of the assistant coaches or coordinators he would want around him, despite knowing a full year in advance that he was eventually going to be taking over the Patriots. Maybe he thought it'd be further down the line, but eventually he knew he would have this job. It was in writing in his contract he would have this job. It seems like he spent no time thinking about that. He never even thought about establishing a winning culture. So that is offensive, is what it is. Tom Curran said earlier when he joined us on a Tommy Tuesday at high noon, about an hour ago, he said they need to be competitive next year. He's not saying they will be, but they need to be competitive next year. 7, 8, 9 wins, something like that. And that, to me, is the proper timeline, Keith.
Yeah.
They have, as he detailed, a top 5 pick-ish. They have a ton of money to spend in free agency. And you're terrible again.
Do you view it as year two or year five of a rebuild?
I would lean more towards year five, but if you're being charitable, let's treat it as year two.
Okay.
Year two, you should turn this around and be competitive. Competitive next year, which means competitive for a playoff spot. Not competitive for a Super Bowl. Not a Super Bowl contender.
Yep.
Just competitive for a playoff spot? Yeah, next year, and it better be next year.
I know I'm just kind of cherry-picking random examples here, but here's another one that just came into my head.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Andy Reid. You like Andy Reid at all?
Oh, very good coach.
So he inherited a Kansas City Chiefs team in 2012. Romeo Crennel was the skipper.
Uh-huh.
They won 2 games.
Good team.
They won 2 games?
Yeah.
They hired Andy Reid in the 2013 season. Do you know how many wins they had? After two. They only won 2.
10.
11, and made the playoffs.
Nice.
Yeah. So was that a culture change, you think? Was the culture changed there?
Again, not every coach is going to do it in year one. I thought you were going to talk about Reed's first year in Philly. So Reed, it took a year It took a year for Reed in Philadelphia, okay? He inherited a 3-13 team. They went to 5-11 the next year. By year two, they were in the playoffs, 11 wins. They went to four straight NFC title games and a Super Bowl appearance in years whatever.
But he even,
3, 4, 5, 6.
But even the point is he improved the team his first year.
He did.
They won two more games, and I'm sure they were on the upswing.
Bill Belichick in 2000. Yep. I don't think it was a great year by any means. But I think the goal was to build a winning culture, and maybe they achieved some of that in their first year. It didn't translate to wins right away.
No.
But they were attempting to build a winning culture. Mayo's not even thinking about it.
No. Mayo's never even crossed his mind.
I never thought in year one we would do that, which is, again, just wild.
But that was but also it's maddening because you go back to the offseason, and anytime Mayo or Wolf spoke, that's all it was that they were changing the culture, that they're changing the culture.
Yeah.
So you might not be successful in doing it, but to suggest that you never even thought about it when it seemed like your number one goal and talking point all offseason is crazy.
Until they did nothing in free agency, Keith, I was saying they should win 8, 9, 10 games next year because they should go out and be aggressive in free agency and get their quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, they were not.
No, I mean, they did nothing in free agency except re-sign all their own bums. They didn't go out and add to the team at all. They didn't make any big trades.
Yep.
So they drafted the quarterback, which I wanted and was the bare minimum, I guess, to get accomplished this year. And maybe that's the hardest thing to do when they did it and great. But I thought they should have been a competitive team this year, and they punted on that. So they damn sure better be competitive next year if they already wasted a whole year. You can't waste too many years of Drake May's development. Kearns made this point. He's on a rookie deal. You get 4 or 5 years, that's the window before these guys start costing a crap ton of money. Look at Miami and Tua. You know, look at some of the other quarterbacks around the league and the teams and how handcuffed they are to a degree. I mean, you can always fudge the numbers.
Yeah, but now there's no excuse.
No, there's no excuse right now. Get out there and spend. So they didn't do it last year. They better do it this year. And if they don't, they can fire everybody. I'm not sure. Mayo, Covington, Van Pelt, Wolf. I'm not sure any of them make it to next year, but if any of them do, they won't make it through another year if they're not competitive.
All right, job security, power rankings.
Yep.
Out of those four, who is most likely back all the way to least likely back?
Most likely back is probably still Mayo.
I think it is.
But I don't think he's super likely to be back. I read you Florio. Florio's been beating this drum for months. He's like, if Mayo survives year one, he is going to be on the hot seat week one next year. So I don't think it's a guarantee he's back, but he's probably the safest. I would say Wolf next.
Probably. Yeah, probably Wolf next.
Then I guess Van Pelt by default, and Covington is.
Covington's probably right now on the hottest of the seats.
Right now, I didn't even read this earlier, Keith. Let me get Reese's notes, but do you agree he's on the hottest of hot seats?
I think so, and I know Kern was mentioning earlier all the different injuries and then suspension and stuff for players. Not on the defense, but the defense seems like it's much worse off than it should be.
Yeah,
and I think Mayo gets more of that blame, but Covington is the defensive coordinator, and Robert Kraft loves Jerod Mayo. Now maybe that is starting to change slightly, maybe just based on the you know what's been going on this season.
Yeah,
but I think if they were going to scapegoat anybody, it could easily be Covington, and then try to find a defensive coordinator with a lot more experience and bring him in.
Reese wrote today, you know how he kind of does like a Word document that he posts out in like different screen grabs? Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. It's lengthy.
It's long. Point seven, though, at the tail end of it. First-year defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington is in the spotlight to come up with better answers, is what he writes.
Uh-huh.
That's about as much edge and criticism as you're going to get from Mike Reese. When he says it puts a spotlight on him, that's a guy who is, you know, potentially coaching for his job down the street.
Well, they also, there's a chance that, I mean, you have two more games with the Bills. And if the Bills need those games and if Josh Allen lights you up, I mean, there's an opportunity for a couple of more real lopsided, horrible defensive performances. Kyler Murray is kind of the hit or miss guy. There are games where he makes opposing defenses look really dumb. Then there's also a game like last week where Seattle just kind of gobbled him up. But that's another one where that could go either way. I mean, there's been too many guys this year that have just come in and had awesome games against the Patriots defense.
Mayo also said today, he was asked a lot of questions about Jabril Peppers. Jabril Peppers is in the building. Peppers talked to the media today, said, you know, he's not going to talk about the case on advice of his lawyer, but he has met with ownership. So he spent some time talking about that today. And that was a large bulk of what Mayo dealt with.
Yeah.
But he was asked about whether or not he would take over defensive play calls.
He's like, I've never done that.
He said, no, he's not going to do that. He said DeMarcus is doing a good job calling plays.
Is that right?
That's what he said.
Is that how he feels?
That's not how I feel.
That's not how I feel.
That's apparently how he feels.
All right.
It comes down to executing what play is called. And I'll say, it sounds like there's a bit of this from Mayo the last couple of days. Yesterday on the Greg Hill show, Curtis asked him, hey, would you coach differently if you had different personnel? Is that a safe assumption? He's like, yeah, I'd say that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, we were good. Okay. I could do more stuff.
He said he can't help the players once they go between the white lines. There's nothing I or any coach can do,
yeah.
Which I think is a laughable comment, but that's what he said. And then he said this today. It comes down to executing the play that's called. That's putting it on the players, which is also putting it on Elliott Wolf. Mayo may realize the way I survive and make it to year two is if I start throwing the other guy, the personnel guy, Elliott Wolf, under the bus.
Well, there was a day where it was the wide receivers coach. Remember, like a month ago, the wide receivers coach name got brought up a couple times. And we're like, really? We're blaming the wide receiver coach for how bad Tyquan Thornton is?
Yeah, that was like a movement from the beat writers. They're all like, boy, this Tyler Hughes guy is kind of a first year on the job.
I'm talking about him.
What's going on in that room? It's like, yeah, that feels like people are lashing out for a reason.
I'm like, I'm not blaming him.
Me either.
Like, and I don't think Patriots fans aren't going to say at the end of the year, let's say they win three or maybe they squeeze out one more win, right? So it's the same. Say they're 4-13. The offense isn't very good. The defense is bad. And they're like, hey, guys, we fired the wide receiver coach. Everybody else is coming back. No way. No. Not good enough.
No, not good enough. You need a bigger pelt. And I don't mean Van Pelt. I mean, you need to aim higher than that.
Well, no, because there's four key kind of roles, right? Head coach, both coordinators, and the GM. Like, those are the four big ones. Obviously, you have your owner, and then you have all the different players. But the other coaches, like, I'm sure they're important in their own way, but, like, you can kind of swap those guys around and, like, whatever. Like, whether Ben McAdoo or T.C. McCartney are great or not or somewhere in the middle, it really stops with those other guys. So it would have to be one of them, at least one of them, if it's the season is going the way that it is.
617-779-7937. Steve is in Fall River. Hello, Steve.
Oh, hey.
How are you guys?
Very good.
I find it delusional that I'm even surprised at Tom Curran. First of all, I'd have to understand what he meant by competitive. You're not eliminated at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, let's call it 500.
Yeah, why don't you define competitive? I would say what Keith just said, 500-ish, 8-9, competitive.
Not going to happen. We can pretend we're in a rebuild, but to have a real rebuild, because I saw a rebuild. Well, the year before Bob Kraft took over, they had a rebuild. You have a totally new regime, and you have an owner that's committed to spending money. We have neither. But not
yeah, Steve,
only that,
Steve. We didn't ask what's realistic. We asked acceptable.
Yeah,
we asked what's acceptable.
All right, but we're here. I'm hearing. Okay, we should, but we're also hearing another false theory. You have to be competitive before you give a second contract to your quarterback. There's a short window. There's no short window. Who's the top two teams in the league? You know who they are in the AFC. Both of these guys are on a new contract.
Yeah, that's fine. I get what he's saying. Like, it's just, you can really add to your team when your quarterback's cheap. It's not that you can't add to them later on.
Well, the Chiefs also won it when he was on a cheap deal, right? Didn't they win the Super Bowl when he was
Mahomes,
before he signed a big one?
Allen hasn't won anything yet.
No, he hasn't.
So I don't really know what he's referencing there. But, yeah, they did win when Mahomes was on his rookie deal, for sure. And they've also taken away his wide receiver. Now, you can call ownership.
Pay both.
You can pay a wide out
and a quarterback.
You can call ownership cheap for that.
Yeah.
And the Hunt family is cheap. But
Yeah, right.
That's something that they did. So I think that's the only point. Of course, you can sign everybody and play around with the numbers, and if that's Steve's point, that's fair. But it's also a reality when your quarterback's cheap, the window is wide open to really add around them. And that's also in the case of Mahomes and some of these other young quarterbacks when they were on their rookie deal. That's probably when they need the most help. Drake May needs a ton of help.
I also just think when you look around the league, and we brought up a bunch of examples already of new coaches turning your team around in year one. Let's say it does take 2 years. I think that's also another long list of teams that if you're coming in at a team that you're inheriting a 2, 3, 4, 5 win team, if by 2 years later you're not significantly better, you're not the guy then.
Right.
It seems like it's time to move on. Like, you need to at least show signs of it. I'm sure all the good coaches, and maybe this is an exercise for the Rich Keefe stats and info department, but
yeah, get them on that.
By year 2 or 3, if you're not in the playoffs or knocking on the door of the playoffs, like, why are you still there? I feel like they're just going to look for somebody else to do it. There are plenty of examples from teams winning significantly more games year to year, let alone a two-year jump.
Yeah, it's fair. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. You can also jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. It is Arcand. It is Hart. Who do they have today?
Today
they have Ross
Tuesday.
Tucker.
Oh, yeah, 2:30.
Is who they have on
Lock
the program.
In.
I saw Ross Tucker got a nice shout-out from Chris Long, the Greenlight podcast.
Is that right?
For the work he does on some of these games, yes.
Okay.
So he'll be on today on WEEI Afternoons. I'm sure they have a lot coming up on the program. Meantime, it is waiver day in a lot of your fantasy leagues out there. Mine already ran. Maybe they run tomorrow. Waiver Wire, brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. You can donate today, and your car will be picked up tomorrow. Donate now, carsforkids.com. That is Cars with a K. I got some blowback on my recommendation last week, Keith. I recommended Christian Watson.
What was wrong with that?
He dropped a very long touchdown.
If he caught that touchdown, people wouldn't complain.
In that game.
No, you had a good idea.
I got some blowback there. And if he's available, I'd still go scoop him.
Okay,
right. I don't love the running backs this week. Jeremy McNichols is the top option, according to a lot of people. They play Tennessee, and then he has a bye week coming up. I don't love that option. I also don't love the Ameer Abdullah option in Vegas.
What do you got?
So I would lean in on these wide receivers this week, as maybe is my fault the last couple of weeks. Deshaun Vele in Denver seems like he's clearly the number two behind Cortland Sutton.
I mean, you got a guy like Bo Nix throwing you the ball.
Bunch of targets there, Keith.
Yeah.
And, well, the offense seems to be rolling. The other guy, it feels gross, but he's been on a heater. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine scored against the Patriots. He scored 6 out of 7 weeks. So you might be running out of a hot stretch there, but that's a guy to go add for your waivers. Again, brought to you by Cars for Kids. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback. Billy with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
All right, let's get into it. Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program. And Jones, a reunion tonight at the Garden. Boston Bruins undefeated under interim coach Joe Sacco. Welcome old buddy Jake DeBrusk and the Vancouver Canucks to town. You excited for the Jake DeBrusk return game?
I'm not. I'm actually annoyed at the movement from the Bruins beat writers.
People like them.
I've noticed some of them. Oh, the Bruins really miss Jake DeBrusk.
Oh, big time.
Oh, they need more depth scoring.
Yep,
I am not going to be one of these people who for years and years and years was like, I don't need to see more Jake DeBrusk. Go ahead, trade Jake DeBrusk. I don't want to re-sign him. Throw him into any deal you could over the last 3, 4, 5 years.
You don't love Jake DeBrusk?
And then lament that Jake DeBrusk has 5 goals for the Vancouver Canucks, which I believe would be second on the Bruins right now.
No.
They need more goal scoring.
Yeah.
They're one of the worst goal scoring teams in the NHL. There are other guys who can score goals other than that guy. Don't need him on this team. Don't want him on this team.
Wow.
And don't particularly care that he's making his return tonight.
How about that?
Yeah.
I always thought him like he's the guy. He was like the face of firing Bruce Cassidy,
yeah.
Even though I'm sure other players were in favor of it.
Yeah.
But he was the one that Cassidy would always bury Jake DeBrusk.
He was the wussiest of all the wuss bags who took it the worst.
And then we're keeping him.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, he's gone. It's like, and he's gone. Yeah, I don't think
he's gone. And you stayed here and you were the same player and the coach was nicer to you, but you were no better off. The team was no better off. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
I don't need Jake DeBrusk anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Everybody loves it, and everybody knows it. Everybody loves
Grab Bag.
How about...
That's a new submission?
That's a new one, yeah.
Listener submission. Keefe@weei.com.
People are sending them in all over the place.
Right.
We got a few of these different guys in here. But Jones, last night...
Everybody loves...
Harbaugh last night. You had the Ravens and the Chargers.
Yeah.
John and Jim Harbaugh, who famously once met in a Super Bowl.
You barely even heard about it.
Nobody talked about it.
They didn't make like a big deal out of it that time. Yeah, no.
Well, last night it was on Monday Night Football, and this could be a potential... playoff matchup, I would think. These are two pretty good teams, Ravens and the Chargers. It was John Harbaugh's Ravens getting the better of Jim Harbaugh's Chargers. But Baltimore improves to 8-4 on the year. The Chargers fall to 7-4. But at this point, I'd be shocked if either misses the playoffs. I know the Chargers are more in a fight there for the wild card.
Fair.
But I think they're pretty safely in.
Are you buying into the Ravens this year as like a real contender?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
You know, we just did, all right, we didn't do tiers this week. We did it last week. And it just feels like the Chiefs and the Bills. Even though the Chiefs, I know it doesn't, it's not like, it's not perfect, but it feels like Chiefs and Bills in the AFC are on a different level.
I mean, the Chiefs and Ravens play in Baltimore. I'm still picking the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, Bills might be a little bit different, but I would still take Buffalo, I think. I'd be less confident in that. I know they have Derrick Henry this year. Good win for them last night. I kind of thought you'd come in crowing more about going for it on fourth down. Harbaugh did it from his own 16 last night.
Aggressive.
That is real aggressive.
That's more like Brandon Staley, like going.
Yeah,
for
and
it.
I just I don't.
I'm not. As
it worked. Yeah. I don't get doing it when you're that good of a team like Baltimore. No. It's that. I know they needed a spark and they were down in the game and it was the eventual go ahead touchdown and they won the game. That to me was too risky, but I did like Harbaugh's answer. No guts, no glory.
That's like me playing college football for PlayStation. I'm like, I know it's 4th and 16 for my own 10, but I kind of have a hunch. I got this.
You know, that's what he said. He's like, I just felt really good about the play.
That's
and
how I feel.
No guts, no glory is what he said. So, I mean, look, at least he leaned in on it, which your coach won't do.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Grab bag.
Shaq Barrett wants to unretire. From the NFL, I guess he was filing his paperwork, and he's like, no, I don't mean it. I want to keep playing.
I didn't even realize he had filed paperwork.
I didn't realize that either. I think the Dolphins own his rights, so I don't know if he's going to – what he's going to want to do after that, but that's the headline. He wants back in.
All right. Well, good. Shaq, best of luck to Shaq Barrett.
Give it a go.
This copyrighted telecast is presented by authority of the Office of the Commissioner. Grab bag. And may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form without express written consent.
Guys, Tommy DeVito, Giants quarterback, is dealing with a forearm injury. Head coach Brian Daboll said he is not 100% set to play Thursday's big matchup against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Could be Drew Lock and Cooper Rush.
Could be Drew Lock.
Man.
It should be Drew Lock.
We got a Drew Lock stand.
I don't know about that.
He's better than Tommy DeVito.
I don't know about that.
I was a big time Drew Lock guy after his first year.
Yeah.
He went like 4-0 down the stretch with the Broncos, and I was like, don't sleep on Drew Lock.
Him dancing and singing on the sideline.
Do you just love rookie Broncos quarterbacks? Is that your thing?
No, I wasn't an Osweiler guy.
No.
I was never an Osweiler guy. I was never a Jordan Lynch guy.
Good to know.
I wasn't a
Jordan Lynch? Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
Jordan
Lynch, I think, was his brother who played like Northern Illinois.
Look that up. Yeah. Good NIU team.
I think that was him.
Yeah.
In all seriousness. All right. But anyway, no, John Elway usually has a pretty bad track record of bringing in quarterbacks.
So Drew Lock guy. You think Cutlets?
Was. I sold all my stuff.
Oh, no, Nick is a Drew Lock guy now.
Nick is.
Do you think Cutlets was celebrating he was doing his patented celebration that Baker Mayfield did? You think he was celebrating a little too hard? Because I could see how you could like flex a forearm doing
celebrating?
That. Well, that's a good point. Maybe he's working on the celebration.
What is he celebrating?
For Thanksgiving. He's like, hey, it's a big day. There's going to be a lot of cameras on me. Let me work on this celebration. It's my signature move.
Maybe I'm just immature, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime someone has a forearm injury, is that alarming to you?
Yeah. Just a Guitar Hero ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's Guitar Hero.
Joel Zamaya? That what the picture was from the tag?
Playing Guitar Hero a little too hard.
I loved Guitar Hero. They should bring that back.
You know what?
What a game. And Rock Band, too. You ever played Rock Band?
I did. I played both. My time as a Best Buy worker.
Oh, don't rub it in.
I told you I worked in the DVD video game CD section. It was all kind of all-encompassing.
The dream. That's heaven on earth.
There were like 5 songs from Guitar Hero. Maybe it was Guitar Hero 2.
Yeah.
5 that played over and over and over and over and over again.
Was one of them Maps?
It was Smoke on the Water for sure. I'm trying to remember everything
Smoke
else.
Smoke on the Water. Is there like a Chili Pepper song too?
Maybe. I could just like remember being like, I can't listen to this again.
If I hear Yamo be there one more time, Yamo burn this place
to the ground. It was like really not that different. It was really not that different than that. Yeah.
I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's tough. Oh, so but anyway.
Paxton Lynch, no relation to Jordan Lynch.
But both Lynches,
but
right?
Both named Lynch.
Both quarterbacks?
How about that?
And Jordan Lynch was at NIU.
And he was sick. They do sick.
Yeah,
look up his numbers, Nick.
Yeah, not brothers. But good poll, nonetheless.
Two quarterbacks.
He did have 3,100 yards 1 year and 25 touchdowns.
Come on.
Heisman finalist? I think he was.
He finished 7th in voting. But 2013, he finished 3rd.
Whoa!
And he had less yards.
Why'd you lead with that?
I thought he was there.
3rd in the Heisman?
Yeah, what are they?
Yeah, it was 2,800 yards.
Gridiron Club? What do they invite you to? They invite you to something. Yeah,
you get a little meal.
Got the invite to the Gridiron Club.
Get a little dinner.
Yeah.
Dessert?
Probably.
Not bad. You get to meet some of the former...
He finished behind A.J. McCarron and Jameis Winston.
Oof. Rough Heisman year.
And ahead of Johnny Manziel, actually.
Oh, man.
And then you can go, yeah, you can go up there and you can meet past Heisman winners like Marcus Mariota, Mark Ingram, John Manziel. It's a pretty pretty serious
nice
fraternity
yeah,
up there.
Grab bag.
What I meant to mention was Malik Nabers was very outspoken about how soft the team was.
Yes.
And he didn't even get involved until they were down like 23-0 or whatever. I was looking at his props. So we're going to do a special Thanksgiving Bozo parlay tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be our Wednesday show mashed with
on
our Friday
steroids.
Show. We're basically not going to have any. It's just all
no
features and bits. And yeah, so but Bozo Touchdown will be tomorrow, a Thanksgiving-only Bozo Touchdown parlay.
What do you think of Malik Nabers, though? Because he's calling out the team.
Oh, I like it.
They could go one of two ways. Either they feed him the ball and then he rewards them for that, or they're like, screw you.
I like it.
I think they throw it to him. He's like plus 235 to score a touchdown.
He basically, if I'm not mistaken, he basically said, guys, it's not the quarterback. Like, he's like, we had a different quarterback, same stuff happened.
Right.
And he was asked, well, does that mean, is it the coaching? Is it Daboll? And he's like, well, I don't know.
It might be his
but
third
it's not
quarterback. It might be his third quarterback in 3 weeks.
It might be. That might help him.
How amazing would that be? They cut Daniel Jones and then DeVito gets hurt in the first game. It's like, oh my God.
Like, boy,
where do you think Jones goes? Apparently, like, teams want Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the Ravens.
Vikings?
I think he ruled out the Raiders. Yeah, the Vikings are a team potentially. So, I don't know.
Stefanski was talking about him. We have Jameis.
Yeah, Florio wrote the other day that he could just go onto a practice squad.
Mm.
He may want to go onto a practice squad, not on a 53-man roster, in case there's an injury, and then anybody can sign him and he can go to that vacancy.
Oh.
He'd almost keep his options open by signing
That's
on a practice
a strategy.
Squad. Yeah.
All right.
Grab bag.
Megan Ottolini on WEEI.com put out her top 10 football movies of all time.
Okay.
And listen, everybody, it's obviously subjective. Mm-hmm. Her list is trash. It's a horrible list. I'm not going to spoil it. You can go to it.
It's subjectively trash is what you're saying?
Yeah. So there's 10 football movies.
I think it's trash.
It's the worst list I've ever seen in my life.
The worst.
I think the two best football movies, the two best, aren't on her list.
The two best of all time are?
The Program.
Yep.
And Varsity Blues.
Yeah, Varsity Blues should, if she missed The Program, I'd be like, okay.
No, no, like, no, no, no,
She's never seen Major League.
Wait, what?
So
that's the best baseball movie.
Why is she doing a movie list?
Well, I'm saying.
I don't
know.
Nobody made you do the list.
Maybe there's a blind spot in there somewhere, but like, I feel like Varsity Blues should have been in the wheelhouse of movies she would have watched. The Varsity Blues absolutely should be on there. What was the... Rudy was way too high. I did see Rudy was very high.
Yeah, no, Rudy was on her list. Should not be.
Notre Dame Family, I'm sure there's heartstrings pulling there, but that movie was way too high.
No.
What was number one?
Rudy's a horrible player.
I don't...
Rudy's annoying. If you ever played sports and there was a guy like Rudy on your team...
Rudy was offsides.
Yeah, you know,
first of all, he's offsides. Great point, Bill.
Yeah.
And, like, that guy on your team was the worst guy. And no matter what age, no matter what sport, you're like, stop being a Rudy.
Yeah.
Just play the game.
Yeah. What was number one on our list?
I forget. No, I don't want to give it away. Oh, no, I know what it was. It was Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah, Friday Night
Lights. Which is solid, but,
good
like,
movie,
I love
the
show TV
is show.
Show
greater than.
Yeah, I know. It was a list of movies, but I'm just saying. So check out the list for yourself. Maybe you agree with it, but you probably don't.
Yeah.
Is how I would.
And then Keith's top two are, again, The Program and Varsity Blues.
That's right.
You can weigh in on those as well. Yeah.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's
grab bag. Speaking of movies, the Gladiator 2 Dork podcast review is up right now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Davey and I talk Gladiator 2, and it's good because Davey is a like Greek and Roman expert. He's like a Latin teacher and stuff.
Is he actually?
For real.
Really? Yeah,
this is like one of his areas of expertise.
Huh.
So he can tell you all about the times, the Roman Empire, like legitimately knows everything about the Roman Empire. So stuff that in the movie that would have been based off of reality versus stuff that was just in it for the movie. Yeah, good breakdown.
Really?
Yeah, for real. For real. He is
a major plot hole here.
He's like a classics,
this is realistic.
Like classics major or whatever the hell it was.
Wow.
Yeah, that's his wheelhouse.
Interesting.
So we talked a lot of Gladiator 2 last night. And then tonight, our old buddy Nick Fryer is going to join me, and we're going to talk about the TV series From.
Oh, so that's tonight?
That's tonight.
Okay. So
8:45, we're going to record it live, and then we'll post it on wherever you get your podcast after.
The amount of off-air conversations about this show between
me and
Keith,
Nick love it.
Nick, and even Wiggy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Wiggy watches
is,
it, too.
Is out of control. The amount of time you guys spend...
There are dozens of us!
I never even heard of this show. The amount
Nobody
of time...
Nobody watches the show because it's on MGM Plus.
It's so, it must be a phenomenal show because all three of them just nonstop talk about
yep.
it.
I love the show. Okay. I love the show so much.
Oh, my God. Becky, look at her...
Grab bag.
It is so big.
All right, best NBA performance from last night. Here yep. are your nominees. OG Anunoby for the Knicks had 40 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Tyrese Halliburton, 34 points, 13 assists. His girlfriend was sitting in the front row with Caitlin Clark and her boyfriend.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Nice.
Maybe a double date going on. Scottie Barnes, 31 points,
Scottie
14
Barnes.
Rebounds, 7 assists. LaMelo Ball, 44, 9, and 7. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 37 points and 11 assists.
So I would go with OG on that list. But let me tell you, with LaMelo Ball, he had a 50-point
Scotty game. Barnes is going to be all-star.
He had a 50-point game the other day. It was the first time he had even had 40-plus in his career.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah,
now
yeah.
he just followed it up with 44. So he's on a heater, but I would go with OG.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, they were. Yeah, OG had a great game.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball Player of the Day.
I'm going to need to, at some point, make like a spreadsheet for all these guys because eventually I'm going to do the same player.
We're
going to
double down.
And you're going to be like, I think you did this one before, but this one I'm pretty sure is a fresh one. But okay. I'm like, wait, I'm like,
you're not. It's like when we got to the end of Dorktober.
Yeah. Correct. I'm like, did I do this movie already? Like, nope, I didn't do this movie already.
Sounds real familiar.
All right. This was a shortstop.
Okay.
Second baseman, third baseman. I would say mostly a shortstop, but he played for the Yankees, the Mariners, the Angels, the Blue Jays, and the Pirates.
Blue Jays, Angels, Pirates.
Miguel Cairo.
Ooh.
Who is it?
Miguel Cairo.
No.
Wow.
Adam Frazier.
Wow.
No.
These are Todd Frazier.
Todd Frazier.
Joe Frazier.
Frazier Crane. No, it's none of those. None of the Frasers. Todd Frazier went to...
the Todd father.
The Todd father.
Yeah.
Todd Frazier played...
Tom's River.
Tom's River, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And they beat my little league. I was 2 years removed. So the kids that are 2 years younger than us
yeah.
played in the East Regional from Goffstown, New Hampshire, an absolute little league juggernaut.
Yeah.
Goffstown, New Hampshire, with a trip to go to the Little League World Series. They lost to freaking Todd Frazier. Poor kids. Feel bad for them still
poor,
to this
poor
day.
Poor little fellas.
Should have been in there.
Yep.
And now that they do, like, just New England goes on, that was a different time. I my buddy's little brother lost to Danny Almonte in the East Regional. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of...
Should be overturned.
Yeah.
Put Goffstown in there
big
again.
Big asterisk. Big time asterisk. All right, so it wasn't Danny Almonte or the Todd father.
He broke in 1990, and then he retired after the 2003 season, although he barely played in 2003. Didn't play in 2002,
broke in what year?
Actually.
1990?
1990, broke
2003.
In.
2003. Roberto Kelly.
No. He is a 4-time World Series winner.
Luis Soho.
Correct.
Wow. Did you get... Oh,
he
get,
got it!
Get the fadeaway. Luis Soho. Nice one.
It's just one of those names that always comes up when you think of players that have an obnoxious amount of World Series
yeah,
for that, not being that
that's
great
like,
a player.
Freaking Luis Soho? You're like, yep, Luis yeah. Soho.
Wow. Let's see. Did anybody have Luis Soho?
I think sucks on the text line is out of his mind.
Yeah,
maybe you watched a different from.
The Twitch chat did have it.
Did they have Soho?
So to, I believe I saw that. Yeah, 4-time World Series champion Luis Soho. I don't think I saw that anywhere else.
Nope. Joe Jackson. No.
Good work,
the Mark
Bill.
Trumbo guy hasn't texted in yet.
He's a little behind listening on delay, I'm sure.
Yeah,
that'll roll in any minute.
A little bit later.
Wow, good guess.
Right, there you go.
Good work.
Yep.
Nice.
Not bad.
Who is it? I saw the Twitch chat talking about Landman as well. Who's in that? That's like another like
that
Yellowstone
is
type.
John Hamm, I believe.
Is he in it? Yeah, it's a vehicle for somebody.
I believe it's John
Costner
Hamm.
Costner Yellowstone style. It's another one of
those.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm going to watch that.
I've not seen it, but no. I was at least familiar with it.
I don't think I'm going to watch that.
Okay, well, there you go. It's Random Baseball Player of the Day, each and every day. In the grab bag, you never know what you're going to get in there.
It's a complete crap.
Here on Jones and Keefe. He's not happy that I went with OG Anunoby over Scotty Barnes.
No, no. He's like, come on, man.
Real upset about it. Stay tuned. We got WEEI Afternoons. We'll see what Arcan and Hart have coming up and the Clip du Jour next.
All right, time now for the Clip du Jour here on Jones and Keefe. Jones, you ready for that?
Oh, it sounds lovely. What is the Clip du Jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the Clip of the Day. And today it was a caller who called in, and it's funny, after he was done with his take, we were left asking some questions. The text line was curious what he actually meant by this. So let's listen to it one more time and try to figure it out.
Johnny is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Really quick, what you've been able to do with that Christian Gonzalez interview, I mean, it's must listen now. It's amazing.
Well,
you
Johnny,
guys deserve all the credit in the world.
Johnny, let me tell people where to get. First of all, that was a Ken Laird idea. Second of all, go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get that on your phone. It's free. You can listen to our man-to-man coverage of Christian Gonzalez. That is 3 men, 10 questions with Gonzalez every Monday. What was your point, though, Johnny?
Yeah, it's classic. Okay, so just on Porzingis, I mean, the seat of my pants ripped when that trade went through. I couldn't have been happier. But now that new CBA is in order, you know, I look at the Celtics and I think the biggest threat to them is that CBA kicking in next year. And I think as long as they have Tatum, Brown, and Derek White, those other expensive players, you know, they're great and I want to have them. But if we have to get rid of somebody, and I don't know if you'll be able to trade Porzingis, you know, next year because of that injury factor. And so if that means that they end up having to trade Jaylen Brown, for example, I'm not going to be too happy about it, and my pants won't rip in the same way. So.
Okay.
All right. So you and I both dismissed trading anybody from the team. We're not doing that. But what was he talking about? His pants ripped in a good way or
a bad way?
I'm pretty
sure he said the seat of his pants ripped.
In a good way?
I think so.
I don't know how good that would be.
If the seat of your pants ripped?
Was it supposed to be the front of the pants ripping?
Yeah.
That I think I understand, at least.
Yeah, my pants.
If the seat of my pants ripped.
The seat?
Seat. Seat of my pants ripped.
Not seam.
I feel like there's a pause necessary
in there. The seat of my pants ripped.
Pause.
Pause?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Have you ever ripped your pants and been happy about it?
No.
Have you ever ripped your pants in the seat?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, probably.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I'm a fat kid.
Yeah, probably I have. So just a little too tight, maybe a little too much wear and tear.
Maybe he got like, he did like a jump up and down kind of
thing. Yeah, he was excited about
there goes the seat again.
I mean, I knew what he meant. I don't know. I don't think it's the seat of your pants that you rip on that. I don't think.
No.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're not adding that to the lexicon of the show.
Trading Jaylen Brown, how do we get that?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a weird tangent in there. Yeah.
People freak out. They have a hard time because I'm telling you, they're ingrained for the last 10 years when you talk Celtics. It's how can you improve the team? This team doesn't need improvement. This team is the team. You're good. We don't need to do fake trades anymore. We're done with the fake trade talk.
You don't need trades. That's true.
We're good.
What do you guys have coming up on the program today?
I think we have Ross Tucker.
All right.
He's got a bit of a parent teacher. We've all been there. So I think we're going to have him. We'll be talking a lot about the Bruins. Monty seems to have landed on his feet quite nicely with a lot of
quickly.
People surrounding him that he really likes working
very quickly,
with. What does that say about other things? The Red Sox are going to get Soto, baby.
That's a prediction?
No. I'm playing it up because Arcan's such a wet blanket all the time that they're in on somebody. They're getting somebody.
Keith doesn't think they're getting
anybody?
Soto. I'm not going to say. No, I don't think you're on
they're
anybody.
They're in on every pitcher. They're in on every right-handed
bat. Sounds familiar.
They're trading for pitchers.
All right, let's do
it. So they're going to end up with at least a big-name right-handed bat and two pitchers. I am very confident in that. I am doing cold bath on air if they don't sign two guys to contracts north of $150
million. You just
want
to do a cold bath because you will do a cold bath. Jones, last year on the Rich Keefe show, I remember having a list of names. It might have been 10 different names. Hart, you might not remember this because you got hit in the head a lot.
Yep.
But we had 10 different like baseball free agents.
Okay.
Including some guys that were like likely trade candidates.
Yep.
I was like, do they sign any of these guys? Hart's like, absolutely they do. And it was they got none of those guys.
I was premature.
It happens.
We've been down this road before. Yeah, it's okay. Happens to the
best of us.
So, okay, fine. So you're in on them.
I am excited about the Red Sox. I'm excited about the Celtics. We'll probably talk about the Patriots. I'm not overly excited about them.
No.
Especially based on last night's game. I think you guys touched on it. The end of the first half was eye-opening and alarming if you're a Patriots fan.
Okay.
Watching what those two teams did compared to, well, you.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. WEEI Afternoons, you got Arcan, you got Hart. They'll talk to Ross Tucker today on the program. We'll be back tomorrow. It is a jam-packed, effectively a Friday episode, Keith.
Yes, it is.
Four-pack of questions. Keith's Keys to Thanksgiving,
I
believe.
You bet.
And a Would You Rather Wednesday. Somehow we're going to do it all with the Bozo Touchdown Parlay. Jeez. That's all tomorrow at 10 on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.